This is Connections, and this is a special weekend edition of Connections here on MSONewsSports.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and we'll hear from some of the newsmakers that we have talked to in the past week on Connections, the program that airs Tuesday and Thursday mornings live at 10 a.m. So it is Sunday, and Easter Sunday is 2 weeks away. Some people have said that the country may be opened up for business by Easter Sunday, but Governor Charlie Baker of Massachusetts said on Friday that that's not likely here in the Bay State.
I think the guidance we're getting from the advisory committee that was set up by the command center and by Secretary Sutters, and the information we're getting from public health experts and from healthcare providers here in Massachusetts, is that, we're not going to be up and running by Easter. No.
Governor Charlie Baker. Meanwhile, our elected leaders from the North Shore have been busy. State Senator Joan Lovely points out two key things that she has been involved with her office this past week.
So you're right, we've been very busy. We've been, actually, my staff and I have been working remotely for the last about a week and a half or so, going on to 2 weeks, and the office remains very busy. So all calls are being funneled to my staff, and we're receiving many, many calls every single day. A couple of issues that are coming up that we're hearing a lot about is for unemployment benefits. So people are having a problem getting through to the system because it's pretty flooded right now. So I would encourage people, particularly in my district, but anybody who might may be listening, give our office a call. We will help you triage it. We'll help you get into the system through our contacts at unemployment. So I want people to know it's important that they are not gapped with receiving funds, unemployment funds. So give the office a call. The other thing that we're hearing quite a bit about, and it's all over the media, is this personal protective equipment that the hospitals and medical providers are short of. If anybody has any masks, the protective clothing, anything like that, please contact your, in Salem, it's the police department. You could contact City Hall. You could contact the hospital directly. Just don't show up at the emergency room to drop things off. And the handmade masks that people are making are great. They may not work in the hospital setting, though, but please continue to make those and get those out to people as well. So those are the big things that we're hearing right now, together with the day-to-day legislative process. We are still legislating daily. We're still having now remote informal sessions every Monday and Thursday because government still needs to function and work.
State Senator Joan Lovely. Meanwhile, in Boston, although the State House is closed to the public, some state representatives and senators and a very small portion of staff are working at the State House, mostly are working remotely at this point. But there is key legislation being prepared, being voted on at the State House this past week. This is State Senator Brendan Crichton.
So there's been a number of bills we've already passed, some dealing with unemployment insurance, just creating a little more flexibility there. We have some scope of practice stuff coming up, essentially trying to make it easier for different levels of, you know, medical professionals, allowing them to do more than they typically would in a medical setting. Obviously, the demand for health professionals in an emergency like this greatly exceeds the supply, so we want to make sure that hospitals have the resources and doing so in a safe way. Senator Cindy Friedman, who chairs the healthcare financing committee, has been working on this for quite some time. I think even if the emergency didn't happen, we were prepared to act on it. There are a number of other some of the bills we're working on aren't all that glamorous, but just needed to keep governments running smoothly. Some of the requirements around local elections and things like that, giving more flexibility to cities and towns to push off, town meeting. Obviously, we can't have a room full of people meeting to decide what next year's budget's going to be. Also, along elections, too, giving municipalities a little flexibility to extend or delay elections. So some of the big pieces I've been focused on as the housing chair have been around keeping people in their homes, either through you know, moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, but also looking at the much needed resources for homeless shelters across the state. Obviously, it's hard to, you know, distance yourself or to isolate yourself when you're in a shelter setting. So the big fear is that, you know, someone, you know, should be exposed to the virus and be forced to live in a setting like that. We need to make sure that there are additional spaces available as well as personal protective equipment for all of those on the front line helping out.
State Senator Brendan Crighton. The coronavirus crisis has also brought on new protocols for first responders here on the North Shore. Lynn Fire Chief Stephen Archer talked with us this week about some of the changes that the Lynn Fire Department is making.
Well, the majority of the adjustments and changes we make is a high consideration of how we protect our workers as they're going out to these calls where we may be dealing with individuals who are potentially exposed or who are potential corona patients. So essentially the challenge is to figure out how we still render the same care to the patients while also protecting our guys to make sure that our workers don't then become victims themselves, because if they're infected, then they're going to need to be quarantined, and then, you know, we're losing a lot of workers off the line. So that's a challenge for us.
Lynn Fire Department Chief Stephen Archer. As for education, the public schools are closed. Governor Baker also said this week that he does hope that the schools do open before the end of the school year. Meanwhile, North Shore Community College is up and running virtually. This is their president, Patricia Gentile.
Well, as you can imagine, with over 1,000 employees and about 5,500 students enrolled for the spring semester, it's certainly been a major piece of work. But I'll tell you, from day one, safety and health has been our highest priority. So we're taking the same necessary steps as many of the other public higher education institutions to end face-to-face instruction, both for probably the rest of the semester, and what our goal has been is to maximize remote work for our employees and remote teaching and learning for our students and faculty. And we've achieved a lot in a very short time.
I was talking, I have a friend who is also, who is an educator who is at the college level and has had kind of not done the online courses until just now, but he's getting into it. And so that, I mean, there's a learning curve on that piece for everybody as well.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you that our faculty and the staff that support the faculty have truly been inspiring. They have done yeoman's work in a very short time. Our spring break was 2 weeks ago, and we extended that spring break by 1 week, giving our faculty and our staff the time they needed to adjust to the new landscape that we're facing. And I can tell you that this Monday, March 23rd, we opened the majority of our courses again, all on a remote platform. And next Monday, the remaining few are opening up also on a remote platform. And that meant that over 1,000 courses had to be transitioned from face-to-face to remote during a very short time. And I just can't say enough for all the faculty and the staff that accomplished that. Some are still working at it, obviously. And right now, almost all of our services are remote only. That's all of our student-facing services. We know that a lot of our students, especially, are not able to have either maybe an internet access or technology equipment to take advantage of remote learning. And so in our Lynn campus, we have an open computer lab scheduled, has to be scheduled with some very limited hours and sanitizing and social distancing criteria to allow them to help. But we've also purchased Chromebooks for our students, which we're distributing to those who tell us that they don't have the equipment this Thursday and Friday so that they can take full advantage of the remote learning. It's we've been getting, over the last couple of weeks, getting our employees with college laptops and cyber secure remote access to the college databases and so on. But everybody from top to bottom has really worked hard to get this accomplished. And we're not closed. So a lot of people think the college is closed, and we are not. We are open. We are closed to the public, but open with restricted services to our employees and our students. And I have to give a shout out to our facility folks and to our campus police who are working really hard to keep our campuses a safe and healthy place. So it's just been a turn on a dime to be able to continue to support our students, especially so that they can finish their spring semester. Many of them, this may be their last semester, and they're looking forward to graduating and moving on to their other goals.
North Shore Community College President Patricia Gentile with us on MSO News Sports. In just a moment, we'll be hearing from Rick Moore, and we'll also be hearing more about some of the organizations that are serving some of the neediest people here on the North Shore. That story and more coming right up here on Connection.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking to score big on your savings this season? Open a CD savings or money market account at Institution for Savings. This is the perfect time to earn funds for your future, and our rates are among the best. Stop by one of our offices in Amesbury, Beverly, Boxford, Gloucester, Hamilton, Ipswich, Middleton, Newburyport, Rockport, Rowley, Salem, Salisbury, and Topsfield. Or visit us online at institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF. We continue now on Connections. Here's Rick.
Everyone I talked with this week on Connections pretty much had the same message that loosely translates into do the right thing. From Cape Ann to Newburyport, public officials, business owners, and everyday hardworking residents all spoke of working together and helping one another out. Erica Brown is the publisher of the Manchester Cricket, and she wants locals to know that the weekly publication is totally focused on getting local information out to the public quickly, but more importantly, accurately.
Oh, well, really, it's getting the information is not a problem. It's just old-fashioned, you know, journalism and news gathering. But determining what's appropriate for the cricket to get out and how is probably the key. Because the truth is, most people, most people have, you know, endless ways of getting information in a timely way. So really understanding what role is the cricket going to play, and for us it's been super local news, very practical, very local. For instance, you know, the town of Manchester on Sunday night, the BOS had an emergency virtual meeting because everything now is on webcast, and they had their first webcasted meeting where they determined that they were going to, after, you know, two beautiful days and everyone outside, and, you know, there was just a lot of bulk of people. There was a lot of density of people, and they were really concerned about social distancing. So they had an emergency meeting to close all the public parks and all the beaches. And we were able to write that up, working with the town, you know, write it up, put out the story and get it out within an hour. And it was, on social media and on the website, and it was, you know, dramatically shared and seen. So in other words, in that way, we were effective, but we weren't trying to be on the front lines of the COVID-19 crisis and leaning into the crisis. It was literally us getting word out to our community about practical information that they needed to know at that point in time. Now, we're putting together our paper right now for this week, and that the printed page is going to have that information, of course, but it's going to have it in a more contextual way. It'll kind of, you know, provide a context. It'll be more thoughtful, and it won't be quite so, hey, this is what you need to know right now.
On the social media front, Leah Lovasco is the administrator of a Facebook group that is only 1 week old, but it's also thousands strong. It's called We Are In This Together Gloucester. Leah Lovasco offers an example of how the group is already helping out.
Yes. So there's a shortage, as with everywhere, for surgical masks. So there's a bunch of sewers in the group that have started making fabric masks that they can put over their surgical masks, and the ones that are made can be washed. So they can use them again, and they don't have to worry about that. And they've been going to hospitals, home health aides, nursing homes. They've just been going everywhere. We've been, you know, trying to help everyone that we can that we know who needs them.
In Essex, Police Chief Paul Francis thought long and hard about staffing issues that he was inclined to make to be sure his officers and the residents of the town stayed safe.
Well, right now we're trying to keep status quo along with all these extra things that we're having to do now with the coronavirus. I get updates constantly, and we're having to revise policies and procedures and how we deal with situations like this. We're currently looking at potentially changing the way we do our shifts to try to maintain our staffing under any circumstances. Knock on wood, right now we don't have any officers out ill, but going forward we don't know what's going to happen, so we're looking at trying to reserve our officers and try to keep them as fresh as possible throughout the process here.
I talked with the vice president of the Greater Newburyport Chamber of Commerce this week, Paul Yanichillo, and he, like so many others, told of hard-hit businesses that are going the extra mile at their own expense to help out others.
Port Pizza up in the Market Basket Plaza is the one that you were referencing, and they donated some pizzas back. Joppa Fine Foods, which is down in the tannery, wasn't open at the time. They were doing a little bit of takeout and some gift card sales, but they donated sandwiches and other lunch-type foods back to the people that are on that free and reduced program. Right next door to our office is Port City Sandwich. Tyke and his wife both also contributed. They offered free breakfast sandwiches and lunch as well. I know I'm bound to leave somebody out, so I'll apologize in advance. I know Moe's, that's up on Story Avenue in the gas station, is giving free sandwiches to the nurses.
Wow.
It's really a great sense of community. And even in these terrible times, you know, the business owners are recognizing that there's a need that's greater than their own.
On another business front, Bob Gillis, the president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank, had reassuring words for employees and customers alike.
I appreciate this opportunity, Rick. Really what I would want to convey to our customers is that we are open for business, and we are, for bank our size, we're the most well-capitalized bank in the state of Massachusetts. We're very strong. We, in addition to FDIC insurance, we have depositors insurance fund on top of that. So it just means that your deposits are insured in full over and above the FDIC limits. We're a very strong bank. We've survived the Civil War, the Great Depression, the Great Recession, and many other difficult times. And we've always been a conservative bank, and we take care of our customers. We'll continue to do so.
Finally, Massachusetts Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr, who is usually extremely positive and extremely friendly, spoke of the frustration of not having enough personal protective equipment for first responders in the medical profession, and he also issued a warning.
It's a great question, Rick, and I can speak to that in large part because I am in charge of the Senate's working group on supply chain issues, and we are all dealing with the same problem. We are trying to get enough personal protective equipment for the people that are out there every day protecting our public health, whether they be in hospitals or our first responders. And the problem is there is intense competition to get that personal protective equipment. And so oftentimes folks will promise that they're going to deliver it. We make an order, and the order never arrives. Or we're in the midst of trying to make a contract with someone, and all of a sudden the thing that we're trying to contract for comes off the table. And so it's been very, very frustrating. And I can tell you that the command center and the governor's staff have spent a lot of time, literally around the clock, chasing down offers of available equipment like N95 masks, like ventilators, like swabs, like test kits. And in our office, we've set up a direct channel of communication into the command center. And for the Senate, we are coordinating that information and working with the governor's office and the command center to try to help get that equipment. But I also want to say something else, and you saw yesterday the governor become very passionate toward the end of his press conference about this. There are folks out there that are trying to perpetrate fraud right now, and they are pledging that they have things that they do not have. And I want to send out a very stern warning about this. If you are doing that, or if you are thinking about doing that, please be aware that you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of our ability to prosecute. And yesterday we reached out to the Attorney General's office to enlist their additional support on this, because trying to troubleshoot orders is hard enough right now. Trying to deal with scams makes it even harder. So this is a huge problem, Rick, and if you read the Herald today, you'll see that there's an open letter from the doctors in Boston saying we have to do better with personal protective equipment. We do, but the difficulty is people that are getting in the way by making offers that aren't real, or even worse, trying to conduct scams with regard to public purchase of this equipment.
Well, the message remains the same. Do the right thing. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.
Thanks, Rick. One of the organizations that does hard work day after day on the North Shore is Beverly Bootstraps. Their leader, Sue Gabriel, talked with us this week about some of the changes that organization has had to make in order to continue to serve the folks in Beverly.
Well, I can tell you I've been at the helm of Beverly Bootstraps for almost 12 years, and I don't remember anything quite like this. I did join the organization right before the recession, but this is a whole different animal. And something that I don't know that anybody could have been really well prepared for. What I can tell you is I'm very, very grateful to the team that I have here and the board of directors, because everybody's been really adaptable. We've allowed the leadership team in particular to play to their strengths. And as a team, we've done a really good job, I think, about being proactive about decisions and really considering all the different layers of our business. We've almost had to reconstruct our business in a matter of a couple of weeks, and all the while really considering how are we going to keep everybody safe and healthy and still meet our mission to support those folks in the community that have a hard time affording all kinds of things. But, our immediate concern is groceries and food for them.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a ride.
Well, I know that I had the pleasure of taking a tour of the place with you maybe now about a year ago or so, and see the incredible work that goes on there. I can't imagine that all of that work can continue under these circumstances, can it?
No, you're correct. We've streamlined because certainly we did not want students here congregating in groups for classes, and we've even had to suspend the tax preparation program. It relies on lots and lots of volunteers, and as the days went on, it became very obvious that we wanted to reduce the number of people here to just those who were absolutely essential to get food out the door, and then obviously we need to let our clients come in and get the food. But we're even asking volunteers to stay away for now. We're asking our donors to hold on to the boxes of cereal and things like that and instead donate online a little bit of cash. We've been making lots of trips into the Greater Boston Food Bank where we can get huge pallets of food. And for right now, that's how we're trying to, again, to meet the mission, but to really think about how many people need to be involved in that and how can we streamline everything and clean our building lots.
Sue Gabriel from Beverly Bootstraps. Meanwhile, North Shore Community Health delivers medical services to so many people on the North Shore based out of Salem, but with other locations around the North Shore. Their president and CEO, Margaret Brennan, joined us on MSO News Sports on Friday to talk about their organization and some of the moves that they have been making in order to continue to deliver services.
We started planning for this in January when we saw what was going on in China and knew that, in a global environment, it's only a matter of time before something like this was going to hit here. So we started planning in January, building up supplies, creating processes and building up supplies. So when things really started to hit hard here, we weren't surprised, and we may have been a little bit more prepared than other places because we just, we saw some of the writing on the wall. So how have we been responding? Well, we, when Secretary Sutter's announced, I think on Friday the 13th, that Medicaid was going to pay for telephonic visits, both video and just plain old telephone visits, our team really sprang into action, and over the course of a weekend created the ability for four of our medical providers to see their patients through telephonic visits in the safety of their own homes and the patients' own homes, which is lovely. Our patients and staff were extraordinarily grateful for that. And then by Wednesday, just 2 days later, we had transitioned to having almost 90% of our providers doing, our medical providers and all of our behavioral health providers doing telephonic visits.
Which is a huge change for you because, and maybe tell our listeners about the scope of work that North Shore Community Health does.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, we couldn't do that with our dental practice. So we had to close our dental facilities in Salem and Gloucester. And we're doing emergency procedures only in PBD because we really want to prevent patients from going to the emergency room. That's the worst possible outcome. And the way to do that when people have dental pain or dental emergencies is you've got to be there for them. So, but normally we would be doing primary care, so medical care, immunizations, physicals, visits for people who have chronic diseases like diabetes, hypertension. We would be doing those face-to-face in our office. We have psychiatrists, behavioral health therapists, and we do substance use treatment at all of our facilities. And we actually see about 400 patients for substance use treatment.
Now, in your buildings themselves, do you have people working, or you must have a few working in-house?
We do.
Yeah.
We do right now. We do have a few people working in all of our sites right now, except for on the dental side. However, as of Monday, we're transitioning to having people seen only at our Salem site. We're doing that because, first off, we've done such a great job of getting our patients ready for this that we're not seeing anybody on site, really. You know, if we see a couple patients a week, that's, in the last week and a half, that's a lot. So, and we will continue to see our patients. It's just we'll do it on the telephone. Hmm. We're going to add in our video capability probably by the end of next week. So if our patients have smartphones, they'll be able to have an app, and they'll be able to see their medical or behavioral health provider. So on Monday, we'll be moving to conserve our staff, to keep our staff well. And as they get sick, if we have to, rotate staff members who are well, we can do that. Also to conserve our personal protective equipment, which is our PPE, which as most folks probably know, is running low nationally and everywhere. And we want to conserve it to make it last as long as possible. So we'll be transitioning to providing on-site care only in Salem.
Margaret Brennan, President, CEO of North Shore Community Health. There are many businesses that are being impacted big time by the coronavirus, COVID-19. in a negative way, obviously. Hotels, restaurants, all kinds of business, many layoffs, many are filing for unemployment. But certainly one industry that is also being hit hard is the automotive industry. And one of the biggest groups of automotive dealerships on the North Shore is Kelly Auto, Kelly Automotive Group. And Brian Kelly from Kelly Auto joined us earlier this week on MSO News Sports to talk about the impact on their businesses.
Right. Well, it's obviously devastating for the automobile business. You know, prior to the shutdown on Tuesday, we were selling 3-4 cars a day at each dealership. I didn't have a lot of shoppers. People would come in because their lease was up or they really needed a vehicle. And that's all going to dry up. You know, that's a big part of our revenue. And being open only from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., you know, we're not doing the volume of service or parts business. Our body shop, we have like 65 cars in the body shop. So we have a full staff to get those cars out because I'm sure that people are anxious to get their cars once they're finished.
Brian Kelly from the Kelly Auto Group. Thanks for joining us today for a special edition of Connections, a program that airs Tuesday and Thursday mornings live at 10 a.m. This is a special weekend edition. North Shore Sports Night airs Monday nights at 7 o'clock with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns. And also check out North Shore Today, a daily news podcast Monday through Friday, right here on MSONewsSports.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Have a great Sunday, socially isolate, and be safe.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts. The North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features. Connecting you to the North Shore.